On the live line with us, Congressman Mark Pocan. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Fly. How you doing?
Oh, couldn't be better. Just living the dream here in this magical state we live in. Everything's perfect. We really live in a wonderful laboratory for democracy.
It's a wonderful state. We just have to restore the government and meet where all the people are at. I think we can do that.
Yeah, really? Doesn't feel good. Really?
Yeah.
Here's my concern, okay? So Hillary Clinton wins, Russ Feingold wins, and then we go through this reaction, and Republicans come out of the woodwork in 2 years in 2018, and we lose our chance to elect a governor because Republicans are fired up to go after Hillary Clinton. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Here's the thing. I think if Scott Walker runs, which I'm not sure he will, you'll have Rebecca Clefish, who's been part and parcel of all this great laboratory stuff they've been doing that's put him at 38%. And I think people are going to be, while they'll be upset, as they always are, in 18 from whatever party's in charge in Washington, I think they're just even more upset with how things have been run by state government. So, you know, the cutting of schools, cutting the university system, putting no money into roads, all those things, I still feel very bullish that we can take back the governorship in 2018 regardless of any outcome.
Of course, you've got to beat the Republicans with somebody. There's got to be somebody. Have you got a horse?
There's a bunch of people talking about it, and that's good, right? I think the more time you've got interest, that shows that a lot of people think it's a good opportunity. So whether it be people like the Senate Minority Leader Jen Schilling, Dane County Executive Joe Parisi, State Representative Dana Wack, State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, Ron Kine's name has been mentioned by some.
Don't mention him.
A lot of people.
I've had an upset stomach all day.
There will be a lot of names to take a look at, I think. And that's a good thing. If there's that much interest, that means that many people think there's a good opportunity. They're not just like me who, you know, are looking at it saying, I think we can win this. They're also, you know, people who are looking at running, and I think you're going to have a primary, and that's good for the party.
Because last time there really wasn't a primary, unless you consider Brett Halsey driving around with his spray-painted VW, which I don't really consider a primary.
No, there was something primarily wrong with that campaign.
So the party did everything they could to kind of make sure that there wasn't a primary. Was that a mistake?
Yes. I mean, I think primaries are good. It makes candidates get out there earlier and make sure that they really are connecting with voters. And I'm not saying that, Mary, wasn't a good candidate because she didn't have a primary. I'm just saying that in general, I think primaries are good for the process. They make better candidates for generals. And we have to win generals in a competitive state like Wisconsin. Therefore, we should not be afraid of having primaries.
Well, it's been it's an interesting kind of phenomenon, and the turnout model, the two state was the tale of Wisconsin being two states. But boy, the Republicans really are in disarray. I don't know if you read the Politico article with Charlie Sykes today, but he's basically come to the conclusion that the people that he's been talking to over the years on the radio are basically a bunch of rube racists. He's had an epiphany. He also said, now this was his creation, that Ron Johnson's going to lose. Charlie Sykes is saying Ron Johnson's going to lose.
Charlie's brand is Charlie, right? So he's got to say something credible to keep credibility. And I think he has been, to his credit, a consistent critic of Donald Trump because Charlie Sykes is a conservative. And let's face it, Donald Trump isn't necessarily a mainstream conservative. You know, he's running a xenophobic, racist, misogynistic, populist campaign, but he's not exactly your cookie-cutter conservative. He's not Scott Walker. He's not Ron Johnson. So he's been consistent on that. And, you know, saying Ron Johnson's going down is just like saying water is wet. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where we have to make sure we have the votes to get out there, but Ron Johnson is doing himself no favors to get reelected. You can't suddenly acquaint yourself with a state that you haven't been part of for the last 5.5 years. So I think he's just trying to make sure he's got some credibility cover. But, you know, let's face it, as far as conservatives go, when it comes to Donald Trump, he's not their person. In fact, some of them would rather see him lose and keep the conservative movement alive, and I think Charlie Sykes falls in that category.
Well, now, wait a minute. You said some things about Donald Trump that were rather unkind there. This is Donald Trump reaching out to the black community over the weekend.
We're going to reject bigotry, and I will tell you, the bigotry of Hillary Clinton is amazing. She sees communities of color only as votes and not as human beings worthy of a better future. If African American voters give Donald Trump a chance by giving me their vote, the result for them will be amazing. What do you have to lose by trying something new? I will fix it. Watch.
So, there it is. There's your outreach.
The stellar absurdity of the race run by Donald Trump, sometimes it's hard to understand.
How would you compare that to Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation?
It will be amazing. That's all you need. Words like huge, amazing. He's got words. He's got big words.
He's got lots of superlatives. Yep. All right. So Donald Trump's trying to pivot.
It shows how ridiculous it is, right? It shows how ridiculous it is. He doesn't know how to connect with so many different audiences. The only audience he's consistently connected with have been, rednecks. I mean, basically, he's run that sort of a campaign. And, you know, while others still see him as the Republican standard bearer, I think, you know, true diehard conservatives see him as disastrous for the conservative movement, and they don't trust him.
Now, you have some blue-collar sections of your district as you travel around. Are you getting any sense that Trump is taking Democrats away from Hillary Clinton, and they're going with Trump because of, his position on trade?
No. When it comes to trade, I mean, what's real easy, I mean, yeah, he talked a good game on trade. And in fact, you know, I wish Hillary talked as strong a game on trade. I think, you know, he's done a good job of articulating it. The thing is, everyone knows when he says it, he's full of BS. He doesn't mean it. I mean, he produces his goods overseas. He brings in workers from other countries. I mean, this is a guy who will say anything to get elected. And he found a note with some people around trade. He found a unique position on it. The problem is it's not a credible one. And, I thought the Hillary Clinton campaign put out a really strong commercial with David Letterman when he went through that interview with Donald Trump.
That's a great ad.
It's a great ad. And it shows, again, you know, don't believe what Donald Trump says. Believe what he does. And what he does is make a lot of money for himself.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him up at Global Trade Watch helping Larry Wallach on this fight against these terrible deals.
No, and even, you know, a lot of his solutions, if you get his details, they're not exactly the right details to have when it comes to trade. So, you know, like I said, he does, though, talk a good game on the top level of it, but again, I give, you know, the voters that I talk to, especially labor voters, you know, credit that they're going to see the hypocrisy of someone who produces goods overseas and hires workers from other countries, that, you know, they can't mean that message as a sincere one, and I think then they're going to be fine in trying to make sure Hillary Clinton lives up to her promises on TPP.
But what about between now and January 20th? How concerned are you? Because I read another piece in, I think, the Washington Post or Politico this morning about Barack Obama making his last push for the TPP. Where is that?
Well, we're assuming it'll come up during lame duck, or could come up. And right now it seems all the groups that are opposing it have pivoted to getting candidates to say that they agree not to board if it comes up during lame duck. So there's a big campaign specifically around that ask. And I do think you're going to have the president trying to use it as, hey, this is, you know, I spent 8 years with you. This is what I need. And it'll appeal to some people. But don't forget, on the Republican side, you've just had their standard bearer running strongly against it. You have, and now there are more Republicans who oppose this trade agreement than Democrats. So they know that their voters aren't for it, and because of the provision around the tribunal, the investor-state dispute settlement process regarding tobacco, not being allowed to access it, there's a bunch of tobacco-growing Republicans that are now against it. I don't see how they put a coalition together, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we stop for a second making sure that that doesn't happen.
The Big FM 93.7 on the drive home with Sly. I know it's not in your district, but I wanted your reaction, Congressman, while we have you here today, about what happened in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago now.
You know, I think we're just seeing across the country a lot of built-up tensions over race relations, especially around police. And citizens, and I think, you know, Glenn Moore, I think, put it best. This wasn't a response to this incident. It was a response really built up over a whole lot of time, and I think that's what we really saw happening in Milwaukee.
And yet the night before this, there were four murders. There were four people shot due to gun violence. And obviously David Clark has his... David Clark blames liberal politicians. As a matter of fact... on Fox, here's what their host Kennedy, her name is Kennedy, she used to be on MTV, here's what she blames it on.
City like Detroit, which has lost its population by half. And when you lose your tax base like that, what do? They raise taxes. And it's impossible for people who are hamstrung by, you know, a lot of public service workers and a lot of taxation to ever get ahead. And, you know, they end up leaving those cities and they just fall into blight and poverty. And I think unions are one of the biggest problems in places like Chicago and Detroit. And, you know, we talk about the teachers unions, but there are also auto workers unions that have completely crippled Detroit once more competition was inserted into the mix. And on top of that, you have short-term programs that were meant to help people, like food stamps, and there are families who end up getting on them long-term for generations.
Yeah. So it's the union's fault.
Yeah, I think she got her education from MTV, is what she meant to say. I do remember when she was on that show. You know, just the opposite, if she would actually understand. I mean, she's probably makes pretty good money doing what she does, and she's probably never had to know what it's like to grow up in a lower middle class or middle class family, but it's thanks to unions that people have things like a 40-hour work week and have, you know, safety protections within employment and have all the other things that have come through the labor movement, and the fact that when you have a strong labor movement, you have stronger wages, and this has just been proven over and over again. So if you really want to make sure that people have access to the middle class and have access to opportunities for their families, unions are kind of the vehicle to do that. And to try to dismiss that in some way is great if you're making lots of money as a spokesperson for a group or on MTV, because I'm sure you get paid well, but it's not reality for the vast majority of people, as you know, in, you know, Janesville and Beloit and a lot of other parts of your listening audience.
Here is Charles Payne in the same program.
It's not every city, okay? This is in certain cities where this spike in crime is going on, and it's largely cities with Democratic mayors, and not only that, where there's no business, where there's no businesses,
right?
And it's also,
well, some would say though that the businesses aren't there because of the violence. Let me go to Gary Kay, because to Charlie's point, the last Republican mayor of Milwaukee, you got to go back to 1908. Since then, they've had three socialist mayors. That's how crazy it's been in that city, and I think we're starting to see the result of it.
They're beating up on Frank. They're beating up on Frank Zeidler.
We're starting to see the result only 60 or 80 years later. Like, all of their arguments are so absolutely bizarre that it's hard to even, you know, give proper responses that are that take them seriously. But you know, clearly, you know, they're not onto much. What they are onto is in bigger cities, generally there are more Democratic voters, and therefore they elect Democratic mayors. But then to somehow equate that to this problem is like, you know, a lot of other false equivalencies that it doesn't, you know, make any sense when you try to put critical thought to it. But, again, you just mentioned this was Fox News, right?
Yes. I watch you. Don't have
you're
to.
You're not going to get critical thoughts. Yeah, thank you very much. I owe you one.
All right. I get some great sound bites off it, though. Those are a couple of my favorite gems for today. All right. Congressman Mark Pocan with us for a couple more minutes here on the Big FM 93.7 on the Drive Home with Sly. So you are helping other people running for Congress around the country. Few think that the Democrats can actually wrestle control from the Republicans in the House this year. But how much progress can they make?
You know, I'll tell you, if it turns out to be a wave election, which it still has strong potential to be, we are down 30 seats in the House, 4 in the Senate, make it a tie. I feel the Senate for sure is going to flip when you look at the potential in Wisconsin and Illinois, Indiana, potentially Ohio, New Hampshire, maybe Florida. You go down, there's so many states that are in play that I think that's going to happen. The House, 30 seats is a lot, especially with all the gerrymandering that's happened. But, you know, even Charlie Cook predicted 2 months ago before some of the more, you know, substantial craziness that came out of the Trump campaign that we would pick up 15 seats. You know, just within 4 hours in Madison, there's 4 potential pickups, one in Wisconsin, one in Illinois, just in northern Illinois, one in Iowa, northern Iowa, and one in Minnesota, just south of Twin Cities, that I think are all in that likely, you know, you could win category. You can see where you could pick up the 30 seats nationwide, and maybe that's the way to finally end the Tea Party domination in Congress. Let's block any action from having since 2010. If the Republicans can't do it by standing up to them within primaries, then maybe they need Donald Trump, their creation, to flush the party down the toilet so they have a chance to reorganize and let us take over and finally get some of the stuff fixed. We've done nothing since 2010 at the federal level and more recently in states where with these Republican majorities. We've seen the devastation. It's time to have that change. And I think, you know, I see potential for this November.
What's a seat in northern Illinois?
Brad Schneider, it's just across from where I grew up, Kenosha, Zion, Waukegan, Winthrop Harbor, that area.
Uh-huh.
Brad Schneider came in my class, lost last time, and could very likely come back in what will probably be one of the most expensive races in the country with the Chicago media market, but it's a very competitive race, and I've been down there a couple times to help Brad, and, you know, that would be, again, on the top probably 10 or 15 races out there we can pick up.
Well, have you been following what's going on with their Republican senator and saying he's not going to support Trump, but then saying that he was going to write in Colin Powell because he couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because she was for the Iranian nuke deal. Then it turns out that Colin Powell is for the same deal, and now he's saying he won't say who he'll write in, Mark Kirk.
So he's realizing he's drowning, and he's, like, trying to grasp at things to see if they float. Ron Johnson doesn't understand the water over his head is not good. So he doesn't quite have the sense yet to start doing the grasping that we're seeing out of Kirk. But Kirk, you know, clearly is showing why. That's why I think Wisconsin and Illinois are our top two potential pickups. But again, you know, in Wisconsin, as you well know, it all comes down to who gets out to vote, which is why it's so important that people focus on people like Russ Feingold this November, because if we do, again, Ron Johnson's not doing himself any favors, doesn't realize yet that the water is over his head. We just need to make sure that we do everything we can to get Russ elected.
All right. Congressman Mark Pocan, thanks for coming on the show today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you real soon.